Carrying on with the theme of songs, this morning, as we start this time of the message, I want us to play a little game. Are you guys willing to play a game with me this morning? Yes. I heard some yeses. Yeah, let's go for it. Guess the Christmas song. So are you ready? Yes. I love the enthusiasm. All right, take it away, Sarah. Do you know the song? Put your hand up if you know that song. What's it called? Holly Jolly Christmas. Classic, yes. Okay, easy. All right, this is a good start, guys. Good start. All right, Sarah, take it away. All right, keep singing. Keep singing. Who can sing the next line? Oh, Chris. Woo! You need a chocolate for that. That was very, very nice. All right, what have we got next, Sarah? A little bit of intro to get you in the mood. It is. Yes, it's Joy to the World. I know you all know it because I heard you singing it earlier. So, there you go, Joy to the World. All right, we've got something a little bit different now. I'm going to read a line or two from a song, and then I want you to guess it from there, okay? Ready? Yes. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Oh, holy night. Yeah, one of my favourites. Can't go past the Celine Dion version. They're very good. All right, we've got one more song. Is everyone ready for one more song? Do you reckon you're up to it? You've done so well, could get 5 out of 5. All right. Hit it, Sarah. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. They're all great songs, right? Get us into the Christmas spirit, singing about Holly Jolly Christmas, have yourself a Merry Christmas, about joy to the world. But have you noticed that some songs talk about kind of jolly and merry and having a fun time, sort of like of happiness, and then there's sort of carols that talk about joy and rejoicing, and Brett introduced that very well for us, about joy and rejoicing. So there's kind of a difference, right? There's a difference between these kind of songs that we sing and that we hear at Christmas. And I've sort of been pondering this idea throughout this sort of Christmas Advent season about happiness, sort of the merry, the kind of jolly stuff in comparison to joy, and what it means for me and for all of us, really, and for everyone. And I love these songs. I love Christmas music. Don't hate me for that. You know what I think it is about Christmas music? You sing it once a year, right? You've got this finite time where you sing it, and I think that's why you don't really get sick of it, because you're not singing it the whole year. I reckon that's the little gift of a Christmas song, because you only have this small time to sing it. So I love these songs, and it's really important to have fun at Christmas. And I love Christmas lights. If you come past 121 Miramar North Road, you'll see that our family love Christmas lights, if you want a little detour one day. And I love picking gifts and the time together and all the yummy food. Who doesn't love all the yummy food you have at Christmas, right? I hear some mmms going on. But like me, do you sometimes feel, and you kind of feel like you get caught up in sort of the temporal parts of Christmas, sort of the temporary parts of Christmas, and along with the rest of the world around us, we kind of focus on those smaller things rather than the deep meaning of joy, perhaps. The deep joy talked about throughout the whole Christmas story. This gift that we're given from Jesus that's for the whole world. Just a thought this morning. Happiness can often be a feeling in the moment, maybe influenced by our feelings and what's going on around us, influenced maybe by our circumstances, our reactions to things like maybe that cool present that you're going to get on Christmas Day. But what about this notion of joy, this thought of joy? It runs through the whole course of the Christmas story. So I thought this morning, let's delve into a few of these parts of the Christmas story this morning, a few of the people and their experiences of joy. And I don't think there's any better place to start than with Mary. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 1 from verse 26. If you want to follow along, we are going to be jumping between a few passages, but they will all be on the screen for you. And then I'm just going to paraphrase this part now. So we're introduced to this teenage girl, Mary, aren't we? And she's engaged to Joseph. He's a carpenter. They're just a regular couple living in those times. And we don't exactly know what Mary was doing right at the time, but what we do know is that an angel appeared to her, telling her that she was favored by God. That sounds great, doesn't it? You're favored by God, and then she was going to be with child, and that the Holy Spirit would make this happen, and that the son was to be named Jesus. He would be the son of the Most High. He would be given the throne of his ancestor David, and that he would rule forever. Imagine getting that news. That's huge, right? I think she would have had the shock of her life, and her life would have been thrown upside down in that one moment. She might be a little bit scared. She could be nervous because this is a really big thing. She could have brought shame on her family. She could have been cut off all of her support, and even worse, don't really like talking about this, but even worse, the punishment for a child outside of marriage in those times was to be death by stoning. So it's a really, really, really serious thing that would have thrown her into a bit of turmoil, I think, in that moment. But we see, as she's sort of processing it, I guess, with the angel, we see in verse 38, her reply to the angel in this moment is that, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Wow, that is pretty amazing, hey? Then we know that the angel appeared to Joseph and tells him what is going to happen also. Then Joseph takes Mary as his wife. They are married. And then during Mary's pregnancy, she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is also with child. And that is a miraculous story in of itself. A really, really cool story of her and Zechariah and John. Really cool story. But here she is visiting Elizabeth. Mary sings this song called the Magnificat of joy, key word, joy, to the Lord. And here's the beginning of it. And that starts in Luke 1:46. She says, or sings, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." That's what she says in response to this situation she finds herself in, being pregnant with the Son of God. Mary, in her very unusual and unexpected circumstance, when she probably felt like her world had been turned upside down, her response is to rejoice in it and to find that joy because of the relationship she has with God. And we can hear that in that song. The relationship she has with God, the trust she has in him, is able to give her joy no matter that circumstance that she found herself in. And what a huge circumstance it would have been, right? What a privilege, but also what a responsibility. We move into the story now, where Mary and Joseph have gone to Bethlehem. We know the story. They go to Bethlehem to be counted for the census because that's the ancestral home of Joseph and perhaps Mary, actually, they say. And they end up in Bethlehem. And so there's some shepherds. We know the shepherds are part of the story. We've got some sheep in our manger. And so in the fields outside Bethlehem, there are shepherds looking after the flocks of sheep. And again, surprise, an angel, it's a real theme, eh? The angel just turns up and drops some news. So again, surprise, an angel has got some news for them and they are super shocked and afraid. In Luke 2:11-12, it says this, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. A host of angels then come and give glory to God, and the shepherds rush off to find Jesus. I love it how they're not just walking along, eh? Like, oh, we might check it out. They are rushing off. They are so excited to find Jesus. And then in verse 16, it says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And then all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Yeah, so we have these shepherds. We have these shepherds who are looking after the sheep. They are really, I think we, because we've heard the story so many times, right? It's not a new story for us. But it's maybe a reminder this morning that the shepherds were such an unlikely bunch of people to be told the great news to. They weren't really accepted into their society as their job made them ceremonially unclean, which meant they were unable to go to the temple, which was a huge thing in those times. That was a huge part of that society and the worship. You could almost like say they were perhaps like the outcasts of the town. So it's an incredible thing that they were chosen to hear the news, to be one of the first to meet Jesus. Imagine that. They were one of the first to meet Jesus. And their response to meeting him was to glorify and praise God. That sounds like joy to me, doesn't it? Yes? Not necessarily the word, but to praise God and to glorify, that comes from that heart of joy. They went from being scared and seeing the angels to this response of praise and joy at meeting Jesus. There's another group in the Christmas story, and you may know exactly where I'm going with this. If you're thinking, she's going to say wise men, you are correct. So the wise men, they came from the east over a long journey to track a star that indicated to them that a new king had been born. They were educated men who some believe that they were part of another king's, like, courtiers or part of the king, another king's household. And in Matthew 2, so we're heading to Matthew now, Matthew 2, verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. See the theme there? Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. They were overjoyed when they saw the star's stopping point. That's really cool, isn't it? Again, it's not like, ah, oh, we found it. That's great. They were overjoyed. It overtook them. They were probably needing some food. They might have needed some rest. They wanted to have a break. But what they felt in that moment wasn't all the physical things they were perhaps feeling or the needs that they had from a very long journey. It was the joy in seeing the star and finding Jesus. That was their ultimate response, was the joy in finding Jesus. So this morning we've had a really quick snapshot. We've looked at Mary. We've looked at the shepherds. We've had a quick look at the wise men. And Mary and the shepherds and the wise men all came from really different backgrounds. And we've seen a kind of little snapshot of that this morning, haven't we? And they had a lot of different experiences, different situations that they had to live with or contend with or were going through at the time that they were surprised by Jesus and this joy. Mary was thrown into being a parent alongside Joseph in circumstances that may have been the end of them. It wasn't, but at one time they probably were very worried. Even in getting married, they would have probably faced scrutiny from people because of her pregnancy. So there's no doubt that it wouldn't have been an easy time for them. And then walking to Bethlehem or going on a donkey, oof, pregnant, I don't, that would have been hard. Imagine what it would have been like being in their shoes. It would have been a really exciting time, but it would have been quite uncertain too in some ways. But in spite of Mary's circumstances, she had joy. She sung that wonderful song back to God of her joy and of her hope. The shepherds, lowly members of society, not really well liked, were given the greatest news of all time. They were just casually one night in the fields doing their job, and they were given the biggest news of all time. They experienced joy at meeting Jesus. At meeting Jesus, their joy was evident. The wise men, who were educated, like I said, likely members of another king's household, had come and trekked and been on a long journey to seek out the star which led them to a new king. In spite of that journey and the awkward situation they kind of faced with Herod, you remember that he wanted them to tell them, and they went and talked to him, and they didn't go back to him. But in spite of their journey, their situation around that joy was what they experienced. That was their part in that. They were joyful, overjoyed is what it said. So these people experienced joy, not because necessarily of the circumstances they found themselves in, but because of Jesus and their relationship with him. And I just want to go back to a part in Luke where the angel said to the shepherds, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Good news and great joy for everyone then, and for all of us now, and those to come as well. Because our Saviour has been born. Our Saviour has been born. And this morning, as we come back to that thought of happiness and joy, and how we've sort of thought about it a bit this morning, we can definitely find happiness in presents, in food, and in Christmas activities, and all that comes along with that. But I really think the gift of Christmas is joy. No matter our circumstances, what we have faced, it might have been a big year, or what we will face coming up, we can have joy because joy comes from Jesus and our relationship with him. The gift of joy comes from being known, loved, and redeemed by Jesus. And I think that's a gift for us all to remember this year. Good news that causes great joy. And I just wanted to remind us this morning, myself included, of these truths that we can hold on to this Christmas as our anchor for joy. We are known by Jesus. He knows us and what we're going through. He wants to be with us in each and everything that we go through and experience, both big and small. And I love the word Emmanuel because it means God with us. God came to be with us. He's not a distant God. He cares about us. He loves us. He wants to walk with us each and every day, no matter what we're going through. We are known by Jesus. What a beautiful thing this morning. He knows what each of us face as we step into this Christmas. And I just want to say this morning that I respect that it can be both an amazing time. Christmas can be an amazing time for people, full of excitement and joy, but it can also be a time that brings mixed emotions, and it can be a challenging time for many different reasons. So I just want to respect that this morning. But you are known by Jesus. We are known by Jesus. He knows what we go through and what we will go through. We are also loved by Jesus and redeemed by Jesus. And we know in John 3 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life." And I think that sums it up so beautifully. We are loved, we are so loved by Jesus. And in that, he sent his Son to redeem us so that we can be one with the Father again. We are known by Jesus, we are loved by Jesus, and we are redeemed by Jesus. What a gift. Happiness is good, and I want to say, let's enjoy the fun things. Let's enjoy the fun things. Happiness is good, but then I've written, but joy is great. It will last because it's based on our relationship with Jesus, not our circumstances. And I just want to encourage us to hold that close this Christmas, no matter what we face, no matter what's going to go on, the exciting times, the hard times, the things in between. We can hold on to that joy because we're known, we're loved, and we're redeemed by Jesus. This morning, as we sort of come and wrap up this time, we've got some candy canes here. Classic Christmas, right? Can't go through Christmas without a candy cane. But we probably, most of us know this, when you turn it upside down, it's a J. And it's this morning, I was thinking J for joy and also J for Jesus. And it's the old kind of legend that it's a shepherd's, it was made to look like a shepherd's crook to remind us of Jesus. I actually also read this week that a priest or a reverend made it for people in his congregation to keep the kids quiet at church, and he made these sugar sticks so they could suck on it and keep them quiet. That's not what I'm doing today. I want you guys to be loud and joyful, but if you would like to take this today as a reminder of Jesus and joy, then please do so as the team will lead us. I'll just pray and then we'll